welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. Today, I'm joined in the studio to talk music by Luke Turner, Associate Editor at The Quietus. We'll be talking through a trio of new or newish releases, Congolese band Mbongwana Stars from Kinshasa, Holly Herndon's experimental pop on new album Platform, and the American group Algiers, who have a new self-titled album. That's all coming up right now on the Monocle Arts Review. Do stay tuned. And welcome to the show, Luke. Before we get into the three releases you have bought in, what is happening at the Quietus of late?
We're sat in our hot room on Pentonville Road, working like slaves till 11 at night, as usual. But it's good. We're having a good year. We've had quite a lot of pieces about the election and the fallout of the election. We've got a great piece on Australia and camp and the stereotypes of Australian macho culture, which went up yesterday.
I look forward to that because it is an actually underrated and under-discussed component of Australian culture. It's only when like a film like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert becomes an immense international hit, and outside Australia, people think it's funny because it's anomalous, whereas in Australia, no, it's actually not.
Yeah, it seems to be the writer kind of got that point, but then he was also sort of saying he felt, and he's Australian, he wrote it, wasn't a sort of patronising post-colonial piece. He was saying he felt that the political narrative in Australia was still very, you know, that camp sensibility was never able to sort of influence mainstream when it came to LGBT rights and that sort of thing.
We should emphasise to viewers who don't know The Quietus, and by viewers I mean listeners, that it is actually ostensibly a music site. And one of the things I like about it is you still do that slightly old school music press thing of realising that music's not just about music, it's a licence to talk about other stuff as well.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's shaped by the culture around it, and it should try and shape the culture and politics around it, which kind of comes into some of the records I've chosen today as well.
Okay, which we will get onto presently. We should also mention that John Doran of The Quietus, also a friend of this program and Monocle 24, does have a book which the title of which we should remind our listeners of.
Yeah, it's called Jolly Lad. It's John, who I set up The Quietus with, his account of, I mean, on the surface level, it's about drinking and drugs and getting over those things. But there's a lot. I think it's a book about England and about the north of England and the changes in the north of England since the 80s, when John was growing up and drinking cider and falling into fountains and eating chips on the roofs of churches. But he's on tour around the UK at the moment, playing in churches, prisons, all sorts, collaborating with local musicians, doing readings. It's a very darkly funny book, as they, you know, that would be the pull quote, darkly funny.
I don't have it yet, but I am looking forward to it immensely. With that, on with the show, we will start with Mbongwana Star from the Democratic Republic of Congo. The new album rather gives that away by being called From Kinshasa. Introduce Mbongwana Star, if you would.
Well, this was a really exciting one, really. We just one day got this track in the office, and you know, I think it was on the last Monocle I played a group from Kinshasa as well. It's just that city produces some wonderful music, some of the most exciting, forward-thinking stuff on the entire planet, I think. And this song sort of, it was interesting because it had a Western element to it, and you know, it wasn't purely a kind of local sounding thing, and it was quite mysterious who these people were. Since emerged, they kind of, you know, as ever, from various other groups from the area. They collaborate with Konono Number One, who are sort of like the Einsteins and Neubauten of Kinshasa. They build all their instruments from scrapyards and what have you. And this is kind of the most Western sounding of all the groups. There's a weird sort of Pill, Public Image Limited, guitar sound to it. But we just found it very exciting. And the album's absolutely fantastic. It's one of the best records this year, I think.
Okay, well, let's have a listen to some of that. This is Mbongwana Star. Mwana Karame. That was Nganshe, apologies for any mispronunciation of that title or indeed anything else, by Mbongwana Star. It's from their album From Kinshasa, the first selection today by Luke Turner of The Quieters. I really like that. You can hear that that public image limited post-punk thing you were talking about there. It sounds like something you could almost imagine Gang of Four playing. Is that a conscious, deliberate influence, do you think they've appropriated, or has it happened organically?
I don't know. I was trying to find some interviews with them, and I think we've got one coming up, but I couldn't, maybe my Googling skills were poor, but I couldn't find anything. And of course, a lot of those post-punk bands were influenced by records they heard of African music, so it's a sort of cyclical thing, really, isn't it?
Because there was that strange post-punk Afrobeat craze.
Yeah, and people were buying records. I mean, Neubauten, for instance, they were inspired to start really by Blix Bargeld hearing a record of nomadic music that he bought from some French world music label in the late 70s. So I think there is this weirdly for a music form that's considered often very very white and austere and what have you, post-punk has a huge influence taken from African music, and it seems to be feeding back in with this one.
Well, the circle of life. We will move on now to the San Francisco-based songwriter Holly Herndon. Her new album is called Platform. It's out now on 4AD, which is it's a label which, yeah, just occasionally reminds you that it still exists. It was quite a prolific label in the 80s and 90s, and it did always have, however divergent the artists were, and they were very divergent, but there was an aesthetic, there was a 4AD, there was an idea of 4AD. You kind of knew what you were going to get. Is Holly Herndon recognisably a 4AD artist?
That's an interesting point. I mean, I think she perhaps is more than some of the other recent ones. I think it's experimental pop. I suppose 4AD artists were always slightly experimental pop, whether they were guitar bands or what have you. I think these days it seems that it's harder for labels to have that kind of identity, like your 4ADs or even Mute, or people might have had back in the day. But I think people have had, music's fragmented, so it's harder for people to sort of pick a narrative with their record label in a way. But I don't know. I think it's an interesting record from 4AD, and I could see it pushing Holly Herndon, who's quite a marginal artist, into a sort of more mainstream. It's all relative, isn't it? I listen to her and I think this is really big pop music, and everyone will read our interview features with her. And of course, I live in Quietus world, which is a slightly delusional one. But
yeah, so by Quietus standards, this is basically S Club 7, isn't
yeah,
it?
Absolutely. Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
This is Holly Herndon with An Exit from her new album Platform. Holly Herndon there with an excerpt from her new album on 4AD entitled Platform. That kind of reminds me a little bit of a couple of artists who should have been on 4AD but weren't. I'm thinking particularly of Jane Sibbery and Mary Margaret O'Hara. There's a big pop tune in there somewhere, but she's determined not to let it out entirely.
Yeah, I mean that I did sort of choose that excerpt slightly cynically and cheekily. That's the kind of big riff, if you will, on the album, and it is, she's sort of deliberately keeping it underneath and lets it show for a bit and then takes it away. And it's not the easiest listen, this record, but she's sort of messing around with ideas of what pop music can be or should be, I think.
Is that indicative of the rest of her album, that track?
Kind of. There's a spoken word track which I find quite difficult.
That's always a high wire at the spoken word piece.
It is because it has this sort of odd choppy thing, and it sounds very. I mean, she people call her a laptop auteur, which I think is a bit of a clunky phrase, but she does really see the laptop as this sort of quite fascinating thing, but not just as sort of disappearing into the wormhole of it, but using it as a tool for collaboration. She does a lot with visual artists, and her performances are really interesting. They'll end up sort of having a screen behind them, and then she works with an artist who takes people's Facebooks who are coming and start while the music's playing, they'll be sort of going through their Facebook pages and liking things and all of this. And I quite like the way she sort of plays with
that,
the internet.
That could be potentially excruciating at so many levels.
It does work, and it's quite good humoured. And what I like about her is she's somebody who's sort of playing with ideas of the internet, what have you, but I think doing it very cleverly. Her interviews are fascinating. And there's this whole, you know, PC music that's going on at the moment, which is this sort of very shrill, sounds like the Chipmunks cartoon, sort of squeaky electronic high-pitched vocals, and it's all about energy drinks and... It's the first music that's really made me feel old and angry. But that's supposed to be this sort of postmodern internet age music, which I just think is a bit dumb, whereas Holly Herndon does it in a very intelligent and more sophisticated
way.
That's
actually quite a lovely moment, though, that once you reach a certain age, that first music that just makes you want to shake your fist at these kids today with their chewing gum and hula hoops and
It is nice, isn't it? I really enjoyed it. And I will go into, when I'm away at festivals, I'll go and watch this one particular artist called Sophie, who's part of this scene, who's got a big flock of seagulls' hair, and it's just terrible. And I'll go and watch and have a laugh and be annoyed at the same time. So it's quite good fun. Yeah.
Your final selection then from Atlanta, Georgia, are a band called Algiers. Where do they fit on this continuum? Are they going to make me sort of like seethe and gnash and reflect that, you know, whereas I used to be with it, now what I'm with isn't it?
I don't know. You might like them. I'm not sure. I mean, they're very much my kind of thing. That's sort of... quite gothy, very Roland S. Howard guitar, playing Roland S. Howard from the Birthday Party.
Indeed so.
With a mix with gospel and sort of quite electronic rhythms. And they're hyper-political. I did an interview with them and it was extremely thorough responses, very thought out. They wanted to do our emails so they could get their points across properly. They're sort of big students of American civil rights. Black power movements.
Well, coming from Atlanta, they're in the right place to learn about all that stuff.
They're not big fans of Atlanta. I mean, two live over here now, and one lives in New York. But they're, I mean, people, there's lots of old music's not political anymore. And I think this band proves that's not the case. And also, you know, American indie rock is usually like sort of this pavement, can't be arsed, sort of shuffling, awful slacker attitude.
It tends towards the fae.
Yeah, and Algiers, they're definitely not fae.
Okay, well, let's have a listen to Algiers not being Faye. This is Blood. 15 minutes of freedom. Still can fit so late. Still relax your conscience. And disgrace your name. Healthy sin you can show. That was Algiers with Blood from that's from their imminent EP due on Matador.
LP. Self-titled LP, yeah, on Matador.
That's really good. It does have that, you mentioned Roland S. Howard before we played it, it does have a certain whiff of Bad Seeds about
it, totally.
which is no bad thing at all. But it's really odd hearing gospel appropriated, which that clearly explicitly is, but appropriated in that context.
Yeah, I mean, I think the singer's African-American and he grew up sort of going to gospel, going to churches, and I think he was saying, I might be wrong in this, but he was saying in the interview I did with him, he was saying he used to go to white churches and it was all very straight-laced and not much fun, but then the gospel was always kind of around at home. So it was something they've all really grown up with, which I suppose in Atlanta that's going to happen, isn't it?
You talked about their political sensibility. How explicit is it in their music in general, or is it something they save mostly for their interviews?
I think it's there in the lyrics. They're one of these groups who, you know, every time they put out a video, there's a very well thought through sort of mini manifesto with each video. They've got I first heard about them via their, they've got a Tumblr, which is sort of music they're into, links to features, Black Power pamphlets, pictures of Malcolm X, Ushers and Neubauten. It's Neubauten again, a video. and they work, it's kind of very much my sort of thing, but it's just like you're saying, it's just hearing gospel sort of suddenly bunged into all these sort of, I don't know, get mute record gothy type things is really interesting.
That's an amazing record. That was Blood by Algiers from their imminent debut album, Algiers, due on Matador at the end of June or thereabouts. That brings us to the end of today's instalment of Monocle's Music Review. Thank you very much to my guest today, Luke Turner, Associate Editor at The Quietus. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. The producer today was Holly Fisher and the researcher was Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Thank you both. Join us again at this time tomorrow for this week's TV review. Our guest is Alice Vincent. But for now, thank you very much for listening.